sure and patient, though all the while his mind was strained with fear, and his thoughts went on dark paths, seeking to imagine how the shadow would appear to him next, and how soon, and where. And when the spell was made whole and cast, he was very weary. He slept that night in the fisherman's hut in a whale-gut hammock, and got up at dawn smelling like a dried herring, and went down to the cove under Cutnorth Cliff, where his new boat lay. He pushed it into the quiet water by the landing, and water began to well softly into it at once. Stepping into the boat light as a cat, Ged set straight the warped boards and rotten pegs, working both with tools and incantations, as he had used to do with Petchvari and Low Torning. The people of the village gathered in silence, not too close, to watch his quick hands and listen to his soft voice. This job, too, he did well and patiently until it was done, and the boat was sealed and sound. Then he set up his staff that Ogion had made him for a mast, stayed it with spells, and fixed across it a yard of sound wood. Downward from this yard, he wove on the wind's loom a sail of spells, a square sail, white as the snows on Gaunt Peak above. At this the women watching sighed with envy. And then, standing by the mast, Ged raised up the mage wind lightly, and the boat moved out upon the water, turning towards the armed cliffs across the great bay. When the silent watching fishermen saw that leaky rowboat slip out under sail as quick and neat as a sandpiper taking wing, then they raised a cheer, grinning and stamping in the cold wind on the beach. And Ged, looking back a moment, saw them there cheering him on under the dark, jagged bulk of Cutnorth Cliff, above which the snowy fields of the mountain rose up into cloud. He sailed across the bay and out between the armed cliffs onto the Gauntish Sea, there setting his course northwestwards to pass north of Aranea, returning as he had come. He had no plan or strategy in this but the retracing of his course, following his falcon flight across the days and winds from Oskill. The shadow might wander or might come straight. There was no telling. But unless it had withdrawn again wholly into the dream realm, it should not miss Ged coming openly over open sea to meet it. On the sea he wished to meet it, if meet it he must. He wasn't sure why this was, yet he had a terror of meeting the thing again on dry land. Out of the sea there rise storms and monsters, but no evil powers. Evil is of earth, and there is no sea, no running of river or spring in the dark land where once Ged had gone. Death is the dry place. Though the sea itself was a danger to him in the hard weather of the season, that danger and change and instability seemed to him a defense and a chance. And when he met the shadow in this final end of his folly, he thought, maybe, at least, he could grip the thing, even as it gripped him, and drag it with the weight of his body and the weight of his own death down into the darkness of the deep sea, from which, so held, it might not rise again. So at least his death would put an end to the evil he had loosed by living. He sailed a rough, chopping sea above which clouds drooped and drifted in vast, mournful veils. He raised no mage wind now, but used the world's wind, which blew keen from the northwest. And so long as he maintained the substance of his spell-woven sail, often with a whispered word, the sail itself set and turned itself to catch the wind. Had he not used that magic, he would have been hard put to keep the crank little boat on such a course. On that rough sea, on he went, and kept keen lookout on all sides. The fisherman's wife had given him two loaves of bread and a jar of water, and after some hours, when he was first in sight of Camaber Rock, the only isle between Gaunt and Aranea, he ate and drank and thought gratefully of the silent Gauntish woman who had given him the food. On past the dim glimpse of land he sailed, tacking more westerly now in a faint, dank drizzle that over land might be a light snow. There was no sound at all but the small creaking of the boat and light slap of waves on her bow. No boat or bird went by. Nothing moved but the ever-moving water and the drifting clouds, the clouds that he remembered dimly as flowing all about him as he, a falcon, flew east on this same course he now followed to the west. And he had looked down on the gray sea then, as now he looked up at the gray air. Nothing was ahead when he looked around. He stood up, chilled, weary of this gazing and peering into empty murk. Come then. Come on, what do you wait for, shadow? There was no answer, no darker motion among the dark mists and waves. Yet he knew more and more surely now that the thing was not far off, seeking blindly down his cold trail. And all at once he shouted out aloud, I am here! I get the Sparrowhawk, and I summon my shadow! The boat creaked. The waves lisped. The wind hissed a little on the white sail. The moments went by. Still, Ged waited, one hand on the yew-wood mast of his boat, staring into the icy drizzle that slowly drove in ragged lines across the sea from the north. The moments went by. Then, far off in the rain, over the water, he saw the shadow coming. It had done with the body of the Oscillian oarsman Skjörg, and not as Gebeth did it follow him through the winds and over sea, nor did it wear that beast shape in which he had seen it on Roque Knoll and in his dreams. Yet it had a shape now, even in the daylight. In its pursuit of Ged and in its struggle with him on the moors, it had drawn power from him, sucking it into itself, and it may be that his summoning of it, allowed in the light of day, had given to it or forced upon it some form and semblance. Certainly it had now some likeness to a man, though being shadow it cast no shadow. And so it came over the sea, out of the jaws of Enlad towards Gaunt, a dim, ill-made thing pacing uneasy on the waves, peering down the wind as it came, and the cold rain blew through it. Because it was half-blinded by the day, and because he had called it, Ged saw it before it saw him. He knew it as it knew him among all beings, all shadows. In the terrible solitude of the winter sea, Ged stood and saw the thing he feared. The wind seemed to blow it farther from the boat, and the waves ran under it, bewildering his eye, and ever and again it seemed closer to him.